The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, we have said this quite a bit over the course of the last, 2 to 3 weeks, but it rings true. This may have been the best win of the season for the Bucks, who entered play tonight. You knew, regardless of who was on the floor, you knew this was going to be a challenge against a team that entered with the number 4 record in the West, but not a whole lot separating 1 through 4 in the Western Conference. It's a good Clippers team. It is a Clippers team that presents challenges on defense, though maybe by the numbers, they haven't really held up the standard you've come to expect. They're a very good offense, and that brings me to the bigger talking point, and that is this Bucks defense. We've continued to hear from smaller circles, yeah, buts, in regard to some of the numbers we have thrown out with this defense. Yeah, but they did it against the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, but they did it against the 76ers without Joel Embiid. Early on when the defense looked good, yeah, but they're not winning. It doesn't matter. This team is clearly taking huge leaps forward. And not only has this defense played like a better than average, league average defense for these 16 games under Doc Rivers, they have consistently been a top 10 defense. And out of the All-Star break, they have consistently been a top 5 defense. Now, are those numbers going to hold? Who knows? With the intensity we've seen, with the communication that we continue to see from this group, and the way that they've really started switching on everything, embraced that, and looked very comfortable and connected doing it, you do leave these 3 weeks saying, look, there are the makings there for a group to be maybe a top 10 defense, at the very least, a defense that is going to be good enough for a healthy offense once you get Chris Middleton reintroduced. What Damian Lillard is capable of doing, and the fact that Giannis is starting to knock rather loudly on that door to open up the conversation for an MVP. So things are certainly trending the right way for the Bucks. I'll preface with this. There are going to be downswings, right? It's all going up right now. It all looks great. You're still going to go through some struggles. The big thing is how it looks when you're going through it. And right now, win or lose, one of the conversations we were having during this game and off the air was, you know, even if the Bucks lose this game, you at least leave feeling good about what you saw. They did not quit. They did not back down. They kept fighting back. It was a big ask. You had to go quite a bit up the hill against this Clippers team. So you would understand a loss, but you liked the way the Bucks got there. The fact that they won makes it even better. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. That is the talk and text line. And let's kick things off, as we always do, with our friend in Port Washington. Dick, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Justin. I just want to go over something here. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, a guy called in, and it wasn't Justin from the East, who's your best caller. There was some other guy that came in 6 or 7 weeks ago, and you're quite skeptical. When this guy said it was time to get rid of Dr. Griffin and replace him with Doc. And I think that guy deserves a pat on the back. What do you think?
Who was that guy?
I think he was he lives along the lake north of Milwaukee. Might even be Port Washington. What do you think? Was it that guy?
Well,
come
look,
on,
Dick,
Justin.
Here's your chance for your victory lap.
It's not a victory lap. It's that a change needed to be made. But on a serious note, although I hope Justin calls in, because I think he will agree with me. But I got 2 points that are serious. I don't think Wednesday or Friday we should play Giannis or Chris. First of all, anybody that plays Golden State Wednesday is going to get killed. They were totally embarrassed by 50 points. It ain't going to happen again. understand, I hate an Achilles tendon injury, no matter what it is.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett lost him that game when he pulled his. So I think those two guys should sit. And the second point I want you to respond to is that someone needs to tell Dane that just driving to the hoop is not going to get you a foul call. They changed that rule. He keeps doing it. We're missing opportunities. Drive it, kick it out, instead of taking it all the way to the hole. That's an observation. What do you think?
Well, I think, and thanks as always for the call, Dick. I think there is a lot of value with Damian Lillard driving to the hole, because you may not get a shooting foul, but more often than not, and I know it was kind of hit or miss tonight, but you will get a foul call, and that'll put the team in the penalty before you know it. But we've seen Dame become a better finisher. I shouldn't even say become better. He has been a very good finisher at the rim. It's been up and down at times this season, but when Damian Lillard has been at his best, you think back to really the month of December, when he was really starting to click. He's been attacking the basket and scoring in the paint and attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line, right? So I do think that's a big part of what you need from Damian Lillard. But, you know, these games like tonight, and to Dick's point about Giannis' status for the next game, the next couple of games potentially, Doc Rivers said after the game, TBD. He doesn't know what the timeline is for Giannis, and I hesitate to even use the word timeline, but he just doesn't know the status of Giannis for the start of the road trip, and same for Chris Middleton. I do know there's video that's out there from pregame on NBA TV. I don't know what it exactly means. You see Giannis, who appears to be in some discomfort, and we do know he did not finish his typical pregame routine. So, look, what I would caution is, as you see the video, don't read the worst-case scenario into it. But seeing that, it does make it easier to believe. You might not see him Wednesday. You might not see him Friday. Maybe you continue to take your time with him. The Chris Middleton thing, you know, Doc Rivers was adamant before the game there was no type of setback. It's just he feels better. He's feeling much better. We've been able to get him through some practice, but we're going to continue to take this slowly because of the importance that Chris Middleton carries to you in the postseason, because of how close you are to the postseason. You don't need any type of setbacks, and bringing guys back before they're fully ready is how you get there. So I'm on board with the Bucks taking their time and continuing to take their time with Chris Middleton. You know, with Giannis as well, if you have to do that, you have to do that, because it's the same conversation of these games have some meaning, but you're playing for April and May and hopefully June if you're the Bucks. You're not playing for this March slate of games. You just don't want to lose a whole lot of ground. The way that you've entered the post-All-Star break schedule has bought you some time. You know, this is a much different conversation if the Bucks are coming out of the All-Star break the same way they went into it. But because of the way they've looked defensively, because you're winning games as well, that buys you some more time, and it allows you to be even more lenient. So I'm not going to speculate whether or not we see either of the two guys. I would not be surprised if you don't see them. But I don't think there's any percentage to put out there. I think there's an X percent chance Giannis plays or Chris Middleton plays. But look, you got Damian Lillard, who you saw what he can do on nights like tonight when he is the primary focal point. And you got a defense that is very, very locked in. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So, again, re-examine Giannis, the injury report, and that video that I referenced before the game. Also take a look at the Chris Middleton timeline here. We'll get into all of that coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks knock off the Clippers tonight despite the absence of Giannis and still no Chris Middleton. Damian Lillard leads the way, another 40-point game for Dame. Bobby Portis, a huge game as well. And outside of that, you got big moments from a number of guys. Malik Beasley only hit one three-pointer in this game. It was a big one coming late in the third quarter to help you shrink the lead below double figures down to right around where it was at halftime. A.J. Green hit two threes, including one huge three-pointer that extended the lead to two possessions. And Malik Beasley, not only that one three that he made, he continued to make some plays defensively as well. So this was everything you needed, knowing the firepower that you were down. You knew you're going to have to make this a defensive game, and that's what the Bucks did. This defense, again, did it against the best level of competition we've seen them go against with this elite rating. The Bucks have done this against teams like the Denver Nuggets, too. That was, oh, by the way, one of those other teams. The Bucks held below 100 points, though the critics and skeptics would be quick to point out, yeah, but the Nuggets sat everybody in the second half. Nobody sat for the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. The only player out was Russell Westbrook, and this defense was locked in, and locked in without Giannis. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Will I Am. What's going on tonight, Will?
Justin, hey, man, what a game. Possibly one of the best games we have seen this year. I think maybe a better game than this one. Obviously, when we watch the game time right off the bat against the Sixers. But tonight, oh, my God, I have never been so proud to see them not quit in that second half. Whenever the speech that they got coming into the third quarter, I could just feel it. You know, we kept poking away here, there. And then at one point during the third and fourth quarter, I remember tweeting saying that this game was about to be ours. And then we just hit that run like you're talking about. Key players, big moments. Even though Malik Beasley was 2-for-11, that massive three to get us within three, I believe, or to tie the game. And then A.J. Green dead on three. Whew! I love that type of Bucks ball, Justin. And then lastly, that aggressive rebounding by the rim when we had 3 to 4 people going for the ball, you know, kind of non-existent, something I was preaching earlier. I'm so satisfied. Even with a major superstar down, we played like superstars tonight, Justin.
Yeah, and, you know, that speech at halftime from Doc Rivers, he kind of alluded to it in his postgame comments, and that was basically just telling his team, look, stay composed. They're going to go on runs. They're going to hit shots. It's fine. We're going to do the same thing. This is a good team. You're not going to bottle them up for the entire game, so don't get discouraged by the Clippers going on a run and pushing that lead to 15. You just got to stick with it, and eventually things will start to turn around. They were very confident in some of those things they installed on the offensive end, which we saw quite a bit of. It's how the Bucks closed the game, was waiting for the trap, knowing, look, we don't have Giannis, we don't have Chris out there as outlets for Dame. They're going to trap you, and especially if you're hitting shots, they're going to try to get the ball out of your hands. The Bucks knew that was coming, and they worked on this yesterday, I believe today as well, as Doc Rivers said. We worked on it with Dame, with Giannis as well, of, okay, in these moments when it's just you, they're going to try to pressure and get the ball out of your hands. Here's how we attack that. It's something they put a lot of work in, and you could see it pay off. The Damian Lillard was patient. He made the right reads. He knew the trap was coming, where to get the ball to, where to move after getting rid of the ball, and the Bucks as a team. I thought that was the other big part of what we heard from Doc Rivers was, you know, a couple of things. And that's been one of the more refreshing things. This is not a knock on any of the previous coaches we've had here in Milwaukee and certainly recently. But listening to some of those things that Doc Rivers has to say after games, before games as well, very candid. And you will get a very clear picture over what he is saying to the team, what he is looking for in games, what he comes away pleased with, what he comes away discouraged with. There's no ambiguity. And Doc told us about that, about how they were going to attack those traps and blitzes. Among the other things we heard about was the zone, which we saw quite a bit of in the second half, and saying, look, it allowed us to keep our size out there. We knew we could use that as a matchup. We didn't like the way we were going to match up in man-to-man against this Clippers team with some of the guys they have on the perimeter, in Kawhi Leonard, in Paul George, in James Harden, especially with no Chris out there and without Giannis on the floor. Zone allowed us to keep our size out there and keep shooters on the floor, so that was really something that I wanted to look into. But the larger piece of it, that the how they manage those traps, you know, what he said about Damian Lillard especially, runs and jumps that they were working on when with Giannis, when you come and trap him, how you navigate out of that, that the team knew what to do. It's one thing for the ball handler to know, okay, here's how I get out of this situation. But it's no different than defense. When we talk about switching and staying connected, you need the same thing on the offensive end. You need to know where to go to be that outlet, to be that help man, and you need to know where to move after that pass, because the play never ends, or it shouldn't end, with one pass. And as Doc Rivers said, you know, Dame was great, but once he got rid of the ball, the other guys were great too, and they knew how to get the ball back to him or where to find the open man. 855-616-1620. Number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks, we've said it a couple of times in these past 10 or so days, but the Bucks with arguably their best win of the season. The shorthanded Bucks taking down the Clippers here inside of Fiserv Forum. More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. Keeps rolling tonight. They are in the top five in the entire NBA since Doc Rivers took over. It is now a sample size of 16 games. So it's not huge, but it's at least enough to form an opinion on this defense in those games played since January 29th is among the best in the league. Fourth best defensive rating, 109.5. They are a half a point per 100 possessions behind the Boston Celtics for third best defense in the league. Your top four defenses in the NBA since January 29th are the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, and the Milwaukee Bucks. So we are talking about more than a month now that this Bucks team has played at the same level defensively as the Boston Celtics and not too far behind the Minnesota Timberwolves. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Justin in North Carolina.
Hey, what's up tonight, Justin, man? This is an amazing win. So, funny story, man. I'm out here in Arizona for Brewers spring training. So, the hotel I was staying at, there's no NBA TV or whatever. So, I couldn't see the game because it's blacked out. Couldn't even watch it on my phone. And I listened to you and Dave Kane. And that's just such an awesome, different, unique way to take in a Bucks game, man. And it's very similar to, like, my grandparents' generation before the TV came out, or great-grandparents for that matter, right? I just, in the description that you guys had, the passion, you can hear the crowd in the background. You know, I appreciate Dick's kind words. I somewhat agree with them, but I don't always all the way agree with them, because I really want this two seed. I want this home court advantage until we could potentially face these Boston Celtics. Do I think they're unbeatable? Absolutely not. And I think that Doc Rivers is starting to show the coach that he is and that he will be in the future. And his Bucks team winning a game without, like Bev said, without two of the three of your big three, that goes a long ways. In this playoffs, I think that sets the bar higher. I want to leave you with one last point, and then I'll listen. So I understand that the Phoenix Suns got this All-Star game before we did, the one that was allegedly promised to us, whatever the case may be. Yeah. So I had the opportunity to go to the Suns arena, and I've been to the Fiserv Forum. The Suns arena is not better. The atmosphere is not better. The hotel proximity downtown is not better. It's a complete screw job by the NBA. But you know how we get back at them, Justin? We have a parade in June, and it doesn't matter. I'll listen to you, buddy. Keep up the great work, too, man.
Look, I'd be all for it. Thanks for the call. I will say this. Hotels, maybe not. They do have resorts out there in Phoenix. And here's the biggest thing. Were the Bucks promised an All-Star game? I don't know if promised is the right verbiage there. Strongly implied and hinted at. Sure. But, look, we're worrying over something that's not official yet. It's going to take time, first of all, and we knew that. It's years down the road. But here's the other thing. They were in the Midwest 3 out of 4 years, and then Salt Lake City as well is one of those years. Cold weather cities. I think that's the biggest thing going against the Bucks right now, is that you're just in Cleveland, in Indianapolis, in Chicago, in 2020, in Utah. It's a players' league. Players want to be in cities like Phoenix and Scottsdale and Los Angeles and Las Vegas. So it's going to shift back to those cities. I do think the Bucks in Fiserv Forum will eventually get an all-star game, especially as this area around Fiserv Forum, as the Deer District continues to develop. We've seen the Trade Hotel going. There's more development coming as well. It's going to take time, but it's going to be here. In the meantime, it's nothing that we should be spending time worrying about. 855-616-1620. And I'm not saying that that's what you were doing, Justin, but I think we're making a lot out of a little here. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with our pal Mike in Shorewood. You're up next.
Hey, how are you doing? Great win tonight. Really impressive. Down Giannis and obviously already Middleton playing one of the best teams in the league, and the Clippers who are playing really good basketball. Really to pull off that comeback was incredible. I thought Dame was outstanding, one of his best games. Really got the offense when it looked like the Clippers really controlling the first half. And then obviously second half, just the way the team buckled down. Bobby Portis obviously in fourth quarter was clutch as get. Patrick Beverley, once again, bringing that grit and nastiness like he always does. Everybody contributing. You even had Connaughton hitting a couple of big shots, Green. So complete total effort, which you're going to need when Giannis, who really has been playing probably as well as anybody in the league the last couple of months. I hope that Achilles team injury, by the way, could be tricky. It's nothing major, so we can't risk anything with that. So this was huge for Dame. Really to show, just like in Portland, he could take over a game at any given time. And Portis is really getting going like that to really take it to the Clippers. Really, really big for their confidence to know, even with Giannis out and obviously with Middleton, you can still beat a top-tier team like the Clippers. So this is going to be huge. Obviously, take over the two seed now. And I think you're not going to catch Boston. But I think Bucks just want to play their best basketball like they are now. Out of the break since they won six in a row and lock up that two seed there. And obviously if they're playing at their best, they can beat Boston, because to me, Boston, as great as they are, guys, they really haven't proven it in the playoffs. As we've seen even last year, the Heat, or obviously the Bucks lost to the Heat, but we saw what Miami did to Boston as well. So they're that team that's always everybody's favorite to win it. And until they prove it, I don't think anybody's scared of them. And the Bucks showed that already when they played Boston. So I'm really confident, loving the way the Bucks are playing. Just continue to play their great basketball. Hopefully Giannis will be healthy, and hey, they can come out of the get back to the finals there, and with Dame win it all this year. Once again, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I do have some thoughts on that. I will get to after the break. I do want to touch on thoughts on the Celtics, because I agree with a lot of what Mike said, but I do think we also need to recognize just what the Celtics are doing this season and the track record. I think a lot of times we can overstate that as well. The other part that Mike brought up that we will get to as well, the Achilles, I don't know if I'd say injury, but Giannis on the injury report with Achilles tendonitis. The video that came out on NBA TV before the game of Giannis going through his warm-ups has caused a lot of concern and a lot of consternation. I would say if you're the worrying type and you have not seen it yet, maybe don't look at it, but we'll discuss coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks defense shows up once again, holding the Clippers to 106 points. It's a very good Los Angeles Clippers offense. Look, there's a lot of similarities between the Bucks and the Clippers. The age is where you would start, number one. But similar to the Bucks, the Clippers found their stride really in the month of December. They were dominant. From December 1st all the way until the end of January, the Clippers had the best record in the NBA, and they had the best offense in the league over the course of those 28 games. December, again, it's where the Bucks were starting to beat up on some of those lower-level teams. Their offense was clicking, one of the best in the league. So this is a good offensive unit. The Bucks did this against defensively, holding them to 106 points. And point number 100 coming with 90 seconds left in this game. That's how close we were to the Bucks holding a fifth consecutive opponent below 100 points. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Joe in Madison. You're up next.
Hey, Justin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. So I got two questions. First is, so what should make me a diehard Bucks fan think that Doc Rivers is going to change us from the team we were beforehand when he didn't do it in Philadelphia, he didn't do it in Los Angeles, and there's another one I'm forgetting that he didn't do it in when he had really good teams. And number two, besides Damian Lillard in the playoffs, who are we trusting? The every team, Miami last year had it with Gabe Vincent. The year before that, the Warriors had it with they had a bunch of role players that would step up. But for the Bucks in the playoffs, we really haven't had from Nikola Mirotic to Ersan Ilyasova to Kyle Korver, they have not showed up in the playoffs. So who will show up in the playoffs? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Well, I mean, to start with the first, I mean, look, we're ultimately basing everything, and thanks for the call. We're ultimately going to judge everything off of the playoffs, right? So it's I can't answer that question. What is Doc Rivers going to do to change that part of it? If we look at what he's done in his 16-game sample size, it's quite a bit of change. And I'm going to keep pointing this out. The most alarming part of this is Doc Rivers essentially changing this through addition by subtraction, right? I mean, I know I mentioned some of the things that they weaved in. Today, case in point, when they worked on here's how we're going to attack traps when Dame gets blitzed, when Giannis gets blitzed, when we get to the playoffs and teams are saying, okay, just get the ball out of his hands, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to combat that and get around it. Those are types of things that you weren't seeing from this group before. The changes that we've seen within games and some of the looks that they've layered in there, again, that was one of the bigger knocks on Mike Budenholzer, though he did change more and more and was not quite as rigid as the years went on. That culminated in that 2021 championship. By the way, in that 2021 championship run, I mean, Giannis was superhuman, right? But you had huge performances along the way. This wasn't just the Giannis show. Chris Middleton was massive. He was arguably your most consistent performer throughout that postseason run. He hit the game winner in game one against the Miami Heat. He hit the go-ahead shot in game seven against the Brooklyn Nets. He had a 40-point game, a 20-point quarter in the fourth quarter against the Atlanta Hawks. He did the same thing in the finals against the Phoenix Suns. So Chris Middleton was huge. Brooke Lopez had some big moments, especially in that series against the Hawks when you did not have Giannis. Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis gave you some big play and big minutes as well. So those are two guys you would look at and say, look, they've done it for us before in big spots, and it all has to do with what the ask is. Damian Lillard, if you get this Dame that you saw tonight, that changes things immensely. But just the presence of Damian Lillard is what's going to change a lot of things for this offense, especially in the half court in the postseason. I'm not going to say that Doc Rivers is underrated, or, you know, maybe it's unfair to look at that, because what you're alluding to is the 3-1 series leads that Doc Rivers has given up. And that is true. That is fact. You have to get to that mark. And I don't recall off the top of my head what it is. But in a majority of those, Doc Rivers' team was not the favorite. So there is something to be said for, look, you weren't expected to get this far, and you built up a 3-1 lead. Now, you didn't hold it. And that's the other part of the equation and the conversation. But Doc Rivers has seemingly gotten the most and does his best with groups that have their back against the wall, that need to outperform expectations. He did that in Orlando with the Magic. He went to Boston, and he was coaching a team full of favorites. He started to do that with the Clippers. Everything was going great with the Los Angeles Clippers until the bubble. When you look at the way that that series ended against the Denver Nuggets, the Bucks went through a very similar thing against the Miami Heat. The bubble was not kind to a lot of teams. In Philadelphia, there was a lot there as well. And look, it certainly seemed like Doc Rivers had kicked that team into high gear, and they were about to do that and dethrone the Boston Celtics a year ago, until two guys that don't have the most sterling track record in the postseason did not drape themselves in glory in those final two games, in Game 6 and 7 against the Boston Celtics. So I'm not here to say that Doc Rivers is blame-free. I think the truth is always somewhere in the middle, that it's not entirely Doc Rivers' fault. Was there more he could have done? Maybe. But this is a clean slate. And the Bucks, I think the most important thing was, if we've learned anything through these 16 games under Doc Rivers in the previous 46 games, 43 under Adrian Griffin, 3 under Joe Prunty, what they were doing, it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't going to work. They needed to move in a different direction. They've done that. And early on, the results weren't matching up with the process. But now, both of those are starting to move in the right direction. And all the numbers are very, very encouraging. Again, it's all well and good to point to what we're doing in the regular season here, what the Bucks are doing in the regular season. It's very encouraging. But to your point, you have to do it in the playoffs. You can't do that until it gets to the playoffs. We'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. All right, without Giannis, without Chris Middleton, it's Damian Lillard to the rescue. Big night from Bobby Portis. Big moments from Malik Beasley, from A.J. Green, from everybody on the roster, Pat Beverly, as the Bucks do it with their defense once again, holding the Clippers to 106 points. Fourth best defense in the league since January 29th. That is when Doc Rivers took over. Not too far behind the Boston Celtics. That's what this Bucks group has been doing. Fourth in defense. The offense still 17th. But again, it's been very, very good in the half court. They'll be tested once again Wednesday night when they start the road trip in San Francisco against the Warriors. 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you then.